Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
All right, welcome to episode number 4 and the conclusion of our The Time Is Now series. And so today's format looks a little different, obviously. We're here with some good friends and colleagues. And so we've got a bit of an interview with a couple of our staffers today. So Vince and I are going to kind of walk them through some of the things that we believe will be helpful in even understanding your own next steps. The other day, Vince and I were talking about just the years that have passed with our kind of journey in full-time ministry.
And I think it's been a few.
It's been a minute.
It's been kinder to some of us than others.
I think between the two of us, when you add the years together, we're at about 68 years of shared experience. That's pretty incredible. Like, I don't know how that happened.
It's kind of ridiculous. I was trying to figure out, because I've got 20 of them, and you must have 48 of them. So that's a lot of years.
Yeah, we put some in there. But today we're going to talk to two of our ministry directors that are on the beginning side of that full-time ministry journey and just hear from them a little bit. A scripture that I talked about last week in last week's episode was from 1 Thessalonians 2:8. And Paul says, when he's kind of reflecting on his visit to this church, you know, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives too. And so I think this verse kind of summarizes very accurately the two complementary and sometimes competing parts of our shared purpose before God, that there's a mission for us to accomplish, obviously, right? To share the good news in whatever capacity we're doing it. But we can't forget the lives that we're engaging with. We're sharing our lives.
Right.
They're sharing theirs. And so that's such a huge part of not only understanding the gospel, but walking it out as we do that together. So that's kind of what today is all about, as we hear from these guys.
And understanding, like, everybody's journey, and it all starts at different spots and ends differently for everybody.
Yeah.
And so your journey will look different, but maybe you will. Some of these things will resonate with you. So we wanted to hear from you guys today. Give us a bit of the get-go. Tell us your name, a little interesting tidbit about yourself, and something that would just kind of be fascinating.
All right. Well, my name is Tessa Pullman, and I am the kids director here at Calvary. You might not know this about me, but I cannot swim. Like, at all. No, I can't. And I'm also, and I know it's irrational.
How is that possible? You can't swim.
Well, I can make it from A to B, but, like, I will probably drown in the process.
You're not going
to
win any gold medals.
No,
it doesn't sound like you'd make it from point A to point B, then.
It's just not a good idea. I'm also very, I don't like cows. I have an irrational fear of cows.
This is my favorite of everything that I've ever heard about anybody, Tessa. Like, why?
Because their mouths are so big. And I do actually have experience. I see cows often. And I just watch them eat. And all I can picture is, like, you know, you see that YouTube video of the hippo eating a watermelon. And I see that in my, like, it's like my head. I could go inside, like, the whole cow's mouth. And I don't know. I just...
It's disturbing.
Yeah, there's something. I know it's irrational. There's something about it that really makes me, that weirds me out. Okay, but... I do. I love.
They don't like ginger, so you're okay. Yeah.
I love coffee. I really love coffee. Like any coffee. It could be cheap coffee. It could be expensive coffee. I just really love coffee. So if we go somewhere, I need to make sure I have cream in the morning so that I can make my coffee with it. It's like number one on my list. I also love plants. Like, really, really love plants. I have tons of them at home. Top of the list is orchids. And if you come to my office, there's I can't keep real plants alive in there. So there's lots of Lego plants because I've moved on to Lego plants because I can keep those alive in there. And so, yeah, I love to build Lego and build orchids or all plants, actually. At home, we have a dog, a cat, 2 fish tanks, and lizards.
Also a husband and 2 children.
I do.
Right.
Whoa.
I was saving the best for last. Purposefully, I was saving the best for last.
You always forgetting. Shoot.
No, I wasn't forgetting them. I promise. I do. I have a lovely, wonderful husband and two amazing teenage girls. They're the light of my life, and I was saving the best for last.
No pet cows, though.
No pet cows. No pet cows.
Awesome. A bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name's Wyatt Harville. I'm the student ministries director here at Calvary. I do not have a fear of cows, but if you want to know my fear, I hate heights really, really badly. But the ironic thing is that I love rock climbing. So I hate heights. Yeah, it's super ironic, and I love rock climbing. But specifically bouldering, and you only get 15 feet up at a time. So it's not too high, and you fall on mats. So you're safe. But other than that, I love anything outdoors. Love mountain biking. Grew up mountain biking my whole life, something me and my dad do together, which is awesome.
You've got the battle scars.
Yeah, I've got scars and broken bones, concussions, all the works, and it's awesome, and so does my dad. So it's great. But my dad has also ruined me in some ways because he's made me a little bit of a purist when it comes to music audio. So there's some things where I'll only listen to on vinyl, which I hate about myself, but I blame my dad.
You're
not
that
me.
Guy.
Yeah, I'm that, exactly. I'm that guy where everyone goes, okay, he thinks he's better than us. And in some ways, I don't, but,
but in some ways I am.
No, I mean, yeah, no. No.
No.
That's fun.
I love it. Well, everybody's got a story, and each of us come from a different place. We have different experiences. Obviously, some similarities to a room this big or an audience like we have online today. But tell us a little bit about your story, how you came to know Christ, and when in your life that happened. We'll start with Tessa.
Sure. So I grew up in supposedly a Christian home. Many of us have heard of Sunday Christians or holiday Christians. I would say we were church Christians. So we definitely had a different persona. The second we walked out of those doors, we didn't act the same way anymore. And the truth is that is really, really confusing for a young child. There was a lot of anger and a lot of animosity, a lot of violence in my house growing up. And it was a really, really, really stressful situation. It was stressful for me, for sure. I have an older brother, and he actually got into a lot more visible trouble than I did. And it was made very clear to me at a young age that because he put parents, adults, through so much that nobody paid any attention to me, and they just assumed that I was doing everything properly. Well, any young teenage girl with zero supervision doesn't always make the best choices, and I didn't make the best choices. So yeah. In grade 10 is when my parents finally separated. And when I was in grade 12, my dad had moved away, and I really haven't seen him since then. So I always knew who God was growing up, but I don't really have a specific date where I really made a decision to follow God. I always knew who he was. It just wasn't a big part of my life. But again, I did always know who he was. And then 2 weeks after I graduated, we had a pretty major house fire, and we had to move. And at that point, there was a couple things that happened. I moved away from everybody that I knew as far, like, other than my mom, as far as, like, all my friends and my school. I switched cities, and so I consciously did that to be closer to the church and to be away from all of the bad influences that were in my life at that point. And that was probably one of the best decisions that I could have made, was to get out of that situation and move closer to the church. So other than my work that I often went back to, once I stopped working there, essentially my entire life was away from bad influences. And I came here almost all the time. this became my home. This became my family. This is where I found the security that I really didn't know otherwise.
It's funny that, because in a lot of ways, church can have those qualities, particularly for a young person, as a second home, a place to hang out, safe place. Yeah, you're around positive people. It's neat that your journey led you there. Yeah.
I'm pretty glad. I'm very thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, back in the day, your youth pastor was this guy, right?
Yes.
It was. My youth pastor was Pastor Vince when I first started going to this church. Yes.
You've always been pretty amazing.
Thank you.
And so and it wasn't until later that I realized how amazing you actually are.
At first, he was just afraid of me, afraid of what I would do.
That red hair, you've always been a firecracker. And so... Yeah, it's your Jesus journey. I remember like at camps and things, just like the Holy Spirit speaking to you, touching you in a like a profound way of like full life, like altering direction thing. So yes. Yeah, it's been a really neat journey.
Thank you.
Yeah, yes. It's pretty cool.
My life was very different from Tessa's in a lot of ways because I grew up in a home that was incredibly connected to the church. My parents were awesome. They always grew up going to the church from a young age. My dad became a Christian when he was kind of early 20s. My mom was about 15 when her family decided to be Christians. So it was kind of an important part of their life growing up. And they made it very clear that it was an important part of mine as well. Mm-hmm. So I took it seriously to some extent, but just like any teenage boy, as soon as my parents told me something was cool, I decided it wasn't. And that's what happened with the church and Christianity. And more on top of that is, again, as a teenage boy, I thought I had it figured out. I knew everything that there was to know about life, so I didn't need this Jesus guy or the church. And it really wasn't until kind of my later years of high school and early university, so grade 11 and 12 and kind of first year university, I started having really, really bad anxiety, panic attacks. It was very, very difficult to function in life. And it was that realization that I do not have everything figured out and that I cannot get through this alone. And friends were an important part of that. Family were an important part of that. But I remember talking to a pastor that I was really, really close with through youth and as a young adult. And he told me the peace of God is something that you know. It's not something that you feel. It's something that you can step into, and it's a gift. Mm-hmm. And it was then when I realized the importance of that relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. And Acts 4, verse 11 has played a really pivotal role in my life. And it's a quotation from Psalms, but it's saying, the stone that was once rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone. And this in Acts, they say, this stone is Jesus. This stone is Christ. And for me, it was the stone that I kind of rejected, that I kind of was like, I don't really need it. And even though I rejected, even though I said, I don't need this, it came back and decided and chose me to be, this is the foundation of your life. This is where your peace and your joy, this is where living a true, fulfilling life comes from. And then from that moment on, I've realized that the Christian life is the best life to live. There's nothing outside of it. So yeah, that was kind of my
fantastic
life.
I think we all can identify with maybe some parts of both of these stories. I know even for Vince and I, our upbringing was not coming to a church or being involved in a church like this at all.
Loving family, but church wasn't a part of it. Yeah.
No, it wasn't that at all. And so I think sometimes people are you know, there's a myth about, you know, just those that are following Christ have somehow come from, you know, perfect circumstances, you know.
Incorrect.
But oftentimes life springs from broken places.
Right.
And so I love to hear these different stories and yet to see God's hand in both of them.
Any young person that hasn't figured it out, like newsflash, 53, still haven't figured it out. So, yeah, there's lots of growth along the way.
Yeah, that's what people tell me, at least.
About me?
Yeah, about you, yeah. Pastor Vince, yeah.
So, like, now you're at this place where you guys are serving in on staff, but your journey didn't start on staff. It began with volunteering. What was the journey of kind of growing into where you're at now? Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. For me, it started in youth ministry. I was just a student in youth. And the awesome thing is that I had leaders and mentors and pastors that really gave us opportunity to lead, to step into a leadership role. Whether it was just calling us out and being like, hey, you should pray for these group of people, or hey, we want to give you the opportunity to do little things like lead a game at mm-hmm. youth. It started with those opportunities, and it made me kind of fall in love with youth ministry. And then in my grade 11 summer, I got the awesome, awesome opportunity to actually intern here at Calvary Church.
That's right.
And that was kind of my first introduction to ministry in a fuller sense, you know, the whole behind the scenes of ministry. And that's really when I fell in love with youth ministry. It wasn't really a career idea of mine. I didn't think this would be the rest of my life when I started there. But I remember at the time I was interning with Pastor Brad doing youth stuff. And it was unreal, like just seeing all the behind the scenes of youth, what it takes to run youth. But just everything else that comes with ministry. You know, there's the obvious things where, yeah, we lead youth on Sundays. There's people that we meet, but it's all the in-between things during the week. That's where I fell in love with ministry, just the connections that he's made. So, yeah, I interned at Calvary for the next summer, so two summers in a row. It was awesome. I loved every second of it. And then I started volunteering in youth ministry elsewhere and just continued to fall in love with it. And now I'm here.
It's awesome.
Working here, which is awesome. Yeah, it's been a good journey.
It's awesome. Yeah. The 11 people is like the satisfying bit.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, there's so many sides of it that I love. I mean, I'm in school to still doing school. I have one more year left, and I love the whole academic side of everything. Mm-hmm. I love studying the Bible. But yeah, it was the loving people, just being a part of other people's lives and just showing them the love of Christ, showing them this life that I believe and I know is the best life to live, and everyone can kind of step into that.
Yeah,
it's been incredible.
Yeah. That's real good.
How about you?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, like I said, I always knew who God was, and he always, whether or not I was acting like the best person I could have been, I always know who he was, and he always had a hand in my life. And a verse for me that has always been there and is always kind of just kept coming back into my life is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. It was a while ago, and I don't want to say how long because it'll say how old I am, but a long time ago that I started volunteering. The truth is, for me, whether it be volunteering here or working elsewhere, it was a way to get out of my situation. I didn't know that it was God purposefully pulling me into something. I just thought I was getting out of something. And at the time, I built a close relationship with the person who was running the kids department. And we would volunteer. I would volunteer on teams that he was putting together. And he had asked me if I wanted to lead a group in a program that was running. And I actually came back. I thought about it for a bit, and I came back and I said, no, I don't want to lead a group. And he's like, oh, okay. And I said, I want to run the whole thing. And I don't know why I said that. I was too young to say that. I definitely wasn't mature enough to say that. I'm 100% sure that it was just God going, I'm going to make you say that without even thinking about it. And thankfully, the person who just said yes and said, I trust you, and gave the entire program to me, and I ran it and I loved it. And that developed my love for all things kids ministry. For sure, all of it. And then I kind of got to a point after I got married and had kids, I was like, I need to make some money. I went back to school. While I was still working here part-time, actually, I went to school. I was in my third year at Douglas College to become a teacher. And little did we know, the person before me was going to leave. And I was asked to switch professions, to change my mind on what I was going to do with my life. And
it's a pretty big deal.
It was a big deal. And I prayed like crazy.
You were actively in school at Douglas.
Actively in school.
Yeah.
Driving home from school, knowing that this was an option, but I hadn't given an answer yet. Crying and screaming and praying like crazy. I was so unhappy with the schooling situation, and I wanted it so bad, but I was scared. I was really, really scared to make that step. And I am so incredibly glad that I did. It has been fantastic. I'm There is nothing in me that wishes I had finished school to be a teacher. I love this. I want to continue this forever. But one other funny thing was that when I said yes to this, it was March 2020. Which, for those of you that can think back,
that was a crazy time to join the team. Yeah.
That was right. I said yes.
So terrible.
Right before the world shut down. Yeah. And then my first official day on the job was June 1st, 2020, which, well, like Wyatt was talking about a minute ago, when he was interning that year. He was an intern, and he helped me out with a few things the year that I was, it was my first summer here at all in this position. And it was... It was amazing, and it was fun, and it was very, very, very scary. Yeah, just the idea of all of it, everything about COVID was just scary for people, and then to also switch professions at the same time, and I have not looked back.
Did you finish off your semester at school?
I did finish my semester at school, because I refused to not finish my semester at school.
Good for you.
It was not fun, and also we had to go online with that, too, because of the timing. It was not fun. But I'm so incredibly glad I did it because I wanted to finish the semester. But yeah, God definitely had a hand in that. And it's
no quitters.
Awesome. Nope. Not a quitter.
When we had some changes and openings on our team and began to pray about, scouting potential people to fill those roles and prayed about the two of you, when I invited both of these guys to join our team to prayerfully consider what the future looked like, the one thing that really was something that impacted me about both of them, having talked to them, was seeing how just their willingness to serve and put themselves out there to try some things, but to see how that kind of mentoring process has shaped the two of you. Mm-hmm. The church you came from, the church you're in now, there's people that you can look to say, you know, they had a hand in helping to shape what kind of a leader I am now.
Oh, definitely.
And even as you talked about, Mark, who came before you, Mark was a member of our team for a long time, but seeing his influence in your life has been a wonderful thing, because through that whole process, now you're on the flip side of that, mentoring this next group of young leaders and volunteers that are coming up. So I love to see that kind of cycle coming through again.
Totally.
Is pretty impressive.
It's exciting.
So we're glad. I know the church family has embraced both of you in the time that you've been with us, and we're excited about what the future holds. But take a couple of minutes now, both of you, and tell everyone, kind of look at the camera, look at everybody here that's here today, and just talk to families about the great programs that are available to our kids and our students, because I'm so excited about what God is doing, and I know that those that lead it, like these two, have it even deeper in their hearts. So go ahead and just let us know what's happening.
For sure. Sunday mornings, always Sunday mornings. So we have something for kids in the nursery all the way up to grade 5. Sunday mornings, we always want them to be the absolute best time of your entire week. So we want to learn so much about Jesus and learn to love Jesus and have him be a part of our life and also have the best time ever. And for those in K-5, if they have fun on Sunday mornings, that is nothing compared to what we do at VBS. So in the summer, registration will open for VBS in April. And you should register for VBS. It is a summer day program, so 5 days, all in the morning. We have such a blast. Go online and find out more about that one. It is so much fun. I just love to see all of you there. Wednesdays, every Wednesday night, we have the kids here as well, and we play games with them, and we have Bible stories, and we have a ton of fun. Now, one thing about me that I haven't said before is I love to party. I love to have parties. I love to create parties and just be a part of them, but also lead them. So any chance we get, we have a big time party. We'll have one at Christmas. We have them at Valentine's, and the Christmas one, we always have an indoor snowball fight. So you need to be there for that. We'll have one at Valentine's. We even do something for Halloween. Anytime we can have a party that I'm able, we do have parties throughout the year for big time.
Awesome.
We just had a party. I remember it now. You're 40.
Don't tell people.
Whoa.
We did. Right. We did. Had a big party for me.
Trouble now.
He's in trouble now.
Yeah.
Nice. That's good.
How about some of the programs that you're in?
Yeah. Youth here is just awesome. Okay. So Sundays we have junior youth services. So for anyone in grades 6 to 8 at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., they sit in here with their families for worship, and then they're dismissed and they meet their leaders. If you've ever been to an in-person service, have you always heard them be dismissed? And I'm the one that they're meeting. Yeah, it's awesome. So we go upstairs, we go to the youth room. It's just a great time. We play games. We hear kind of a message of some sort, mostly just a discussion with youth, which is awesome. But the big night is Friday night. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest night of the week. This is our favorite night of the week. Mm-hmm. Anyone who's involved with youth, it's every single Friday night at the north end of campus, 7 to 9 p.m. Anyone for grade 6 to grade 12. And this is awesome. And our big, big thing with youth is I always tell the kids, and this is not to put them down, but I say, you are not the next generation. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is what I'm trying to tell youth students is that they are a generation that can be active now.
Time is now.
The time is now, right? Yeah. They can do things now for the kingdom. So at youth, we always are trying to have opportunities for leadership. So recently, the big thing that we've been doing is a youth worship team. Mm-hmm. We just started
awesome.
It in the summer.
Yeah,
yeah. It is unreal. And I have to say, some of them are here. Some of them are watching online.
Yeah.
They are just killing it. They are unreal. It's just so awesome to see students serving. And serving your peers and leading people that are the same age as you can be really difficult, especially when it's your friends. But it is just awesome. So at youth, we always want to give kids the opportunity to serve in the kingdom.
Love it.
But youth is awesome. We would love to see all of your students there. You are welcome if you want. If you've never met me, you can come up to me, grill me about every question you want, whatever it is. If you don't trust me by the end of the conversation, I promise you, you will. But I would love to talk to any of you. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to reach out. And I would love to see your students there.
So there's our friends in the congregation who are perhaps serving in youth or serving in kids, but there's a swack load of people who are just like, they have their gifts, and it's like, how would you encourage them to activate the gifts that are going, like their God things that are going on inside of them, regardless of what it is, that their journey like must include like, Lord, like use me, like what am I about? Yeah.
Well, what I would say is, like I did all those years ago, just say yes. Just say yes. If someone wants, for volunteering, of course, just say yes to whatever it is. It will completely change you. You have never heard someone say, you know what? I wish I had volunteered less. I volunteered too much. That's just not something people say. So it will change you completely. And I can make a promise to you right now. If God can use me, I promise he can use you too. And it will completely change your life. It will make, it'll set an example for those around you, maybe kids, maybe friends. It'll set an example for them, and it will change your life completely. It'll open you up to things that you didn't even know were possible. So yeah, just say yes to everything.
It's like you're like the reverse to the drug campaign. Like, instead of just say no.
To volunteer.
Which is because Wyatt is just like in the just say no phase of just say no, but you're in the just say yes phase.
I am not saying just say yes to drugs. I am saying just say yes to volunteering. Just say yes.
Just say yes.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, yes, jump into volunteering. The biggest thing that I can say to people is I have a deep belief that we've all been given passions from God to use for his kingdom. And I don't know what your passions are. Sometimes we don't know what our passions are. I have no idea what I'm passionate about. When I was in high school, I thought I wanted to go into law, and because I was passionate about making money as a 17-year-old. Mm-hmm. And no, I was not.
I started at UBC studying to be a dentist and then got called out of that to ministry.
Totally, right? Yeah. And a lot of the times, we don't know what we're passionate about. We don't know what we love, or we're scared to admit the things that we're good at. And for me, I think the biggest thing I can try to tell people or encourage people is that they're not alone in that, right? Like each and every one of you, you have people, you have mentors, friends, whatever it is, that know you. And sometimes know you better than you know yourselves in some ways. They know what passions you have, what kind of lights you up. And for me, it was always leaders that kind of took the time to be like, hey, I think you have a future in youth ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I think you connect with students in a unique way. Something that I never saw in myself until someone else pulled me out of that. But yeah, I think just find your passions. A lot of it is praying and asking God to kind of show those ways that the things that you're passionate about, the things that you find fulfilling, and maybe that is in ministry, maybe it's elsewhere, I don't know what it is, but I believe that we've all been giving things to do for the kingdom, passions that are used for the kingdom.
I love it. Over the summer, I think there was a couple of things that happened that both kind of really impacted me and stirred me. One was just every year seeing this auditorium filled with children, you know, it's so incredible just to hear the volume that comes out of those little people, right? But I think it also speaks to, you know, that despite these little individuals, they're filled with such incredible potential and such calling. And so it excites me to see, you know, the future is very bright. And I've always said this, I will continue to say it, but as a church, we will forever champion this young generation of leaders and young men and women that are coming up to answer the call of God on their lives. The other thing in the summer that really impacted me was to see what God was doing in our young adults. You know, Wyatt, you got started on that, and maybe you want to speak to that a little bit, but seeing this group come together with a hunger for God and worship and His Word, it just encourages me that, you know, from the youngest to the oldest, we're seeing God activate all of us. And all of us have the possibility to kind of find our place. And beyond being a very multicultural church, we're also an intergenerational mm-hmm. church. And so I just know in talking to some of the adults, even some of our seniors, that they're so excited to see what God's doing in the kids. And particularly over the summer, had many come up to me saying they're so blessed by what God was doing with the students and the young adults.
Yeah, young adults was awesome in the summer. So we're still doing it in the fall. It's every other Tuesday night, so 6 to 8 p.m. And that beautiful thing about young adults is it's really just a time to connect with each other. This isn't kind of another service night. It's not another Sunday. It's not like kind of a midweek service. That's not really the idea at all with young adults. The passion and the mission for young adults here at Calvary is just to create a group where us as young adults, kind of age 18 to 30, we can talk with each other. And there's a lot of things that we're going through really similar difficulties in life. We might be at different stages of life, but either we've been through it or we're currently going through it. And it's just kind of a time to connect with each other. It's more of a small group than anything else. Yeah. So there's always food. We'll eat snacks. We do worship together, maybe hear a short message. But really at the heart of it, it's all about connection.
Love it.
And it's been unreal in the summer, just connecting with the young adults, seeing people kind of build friendships at church and kind of building that second family, like we've been talking about, that second home here at Calvary. Yeah. It's been awesome. And so, I'm so stoked
for it. So good. So good.
My daughter loves it. Yeah. So it's a good thing. So kind of in wrapping up our time, you're probably asking like, so what's next for me? And so there is something set outside for each one of you, regardless of age. You know, sometimes we start to pack on the years and it's like, oh, I did that, or, you know, just let the young people do it. They're full of energy and I'm tired and nonsense. So having your perspective as younger ministers coming through, I think of like in terms of the whole congregation, whoever's listening to this today, you have gifts. There's something specific that is inside of you that only you can do. And they're gifts that are irrevocable from God that are intended to bless other people. And in as many ways as you have been blessed with them, they're not for you. They're for you to bless other people with. And so trying to explore and find out what those gifts are and when to use those gifts is now. The time is now. And so as we conclude the series, we think of like the what's next for me. Well, we have Next Steps classes that we offer in October. Every Sunday in October is a Next Steps class, particularly that fourth Sunday where we go over spiritual gift survey. So if you're like curious, like, God, what do you have for me? What's inside of me? And what are my spiritual gifts? Make sure you come and check out those Next Steps class. And in terms of the now, I'm reminded of the verses, the verse in Isaiah 6 and 8, where God is speaking with Isaiah and he's asking, whom shall I send? Often it's like a missionary kind of verse, but it's still applicable.
And Isaiah's answer is, send me. Me, I'm the one. I'm not intended to just, you know, laze around, but there's something in that I can do that's so just good. For me. So regardless of where you're at, young to old, it doesn't matter. As long as we draw breath, we're intended to have purpose. And so it's just not this free ride of like, well, you know, I just let the young people do it. No, there's something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so make sure that you take some time to explore that out. I just want to take a moment to close in prayer and have a chance to pray for you. Mm-hmm. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to come and hear from these young ministers and their journey, Lord. And we know that you have something special for everybody hearing this. Within each of their lives, Lord, you have planted gifts. Father, we just ask that you would fan those into flame, that there would be a point where they want to engage with the kingdom. Your word is true in Mark, where it teaches that as we put the kingdom first, then everything else gets added into our lives. Lord, we want to be useful. We want to be a blessing to your people, a blessing to your kingdom. Father, so activate the gifts inside of each one so that they can head to their next step. Lord, you've got good things lined up for each person that's hearing this. Father, and as they walk into it, let them sense your purposes for their life, something so big that they need you and that they need to accomplish, that they need to press into in order for them to find that level of fulfillment in life. Father, we believe for great things because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, everyone at this table is a product of Next Steps. We've all taken them. And this series, The Time Is Now, has been all about just recognizing the moment we're in to say, okay, where am I now and what's coming next? And for all of you, that could look very different. For some of you, maybe you've just come to church today for the very first time. And so that was a big step for you. Maybe your next step is just coming again. And coming on a regular basis. One big next step that has changed all of us is saying yes to Jesus. And so that's a huge one because that's going to change the trajectory of your life. And so for you, once you say yes to Christ, maybe the next step is baptism. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's connecting to a small group during the week, doing life with other people. Or maybe it's serving on a team. I know many of you have expressed interest, especially last week, in just your indication on some of the cards about, hey, I want to try this, I want to try that. We applaud you for jumping in, and we're encouraging you to keep taking those next steps. And as a church, we're continuing to take next steps ourselves in how we minister to this city. So we love you all. We pray that this series has been a blessing to you and that these stories have encouraged you to recognize your moment and just move ahead in it. So God bless you. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to seeing you again here at Calvary Church.